Maybe we could read again those two of those stanzas that we just sang at the beginning of the meeting. You don't have to turn to it. It says, "Look, look, ye saints within the veil, and raise your happy song." And I was thinking of this. "Your joys can never, never fail, for you to Christ belong." And then the last verse was, "A trust, forever trust in God, for every promise given." Two brothers that have just spoke have encouraged us in that vein, haven't they? And I'd like to just turn back to our chapter in Hebrews 10 for one verse. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." I don't know that I know in Mr. Darby's translation, reward is left out. It's just it has great recompense. And this verse was touched on, and I was thankful for that, because we weren't able to touch on every verse. But I believe that this verse is so important in each one of our lives. And even more so, as Brother Bob has been speaking of, the shaking. We all know of it in our measure, and I believe that we have a sense that if we're left here much longer, that shaking will come right into our own world. We've spoken of our brethren in other places where it's very real to them. But perhaps we have tasted it indeed in our own local assembly, seeing the numbers diminish, things grow weaker. You know, if there's something that I can encourage each one here this afternoon in, and that is that we would never allow in our hearts, in the tiniest way, any doubt as to the love of God, as to His power, as to His goodness towards us. We had in our chapter, didn't we, all that God has done for us because He loves us. And then in the end of this chapter, he says, "Therefore, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense." You know, I remember growing up when I was younger, a family we were close to, precious family, and the father got leukemia. And we all earnestly prayed, and many here were praying for that dear father. And the Lord didn't answer the prayer in His perfect wisdom, His perfect will. And he died. Went home to be with the Lord, and we watched the family subsequently. It unraveled. And I don't know to this day why God allowed that. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Not too long ago, a father was backing out of his driveway, not too far from where we live. Didn't know his little 3-year-old daughter, who he loved so dearly, had followed him out. And he backed over her and killed her. How do you console a father who's been the means of the death of his daughter that he loves? "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Our brother, in his prayer, touched perhaps a number of our hearts when he spoke of our children. Some of us have children that we've wept over. Think of David, who wept for Absalom, it says, every day. And we've prayed earnestly, longingly, claim that promise, "Thou and thy house." But things seem to be getting worse. Our brother mentioned the older ones. An old sister that just lays on her bed day after day and wonders, like Brother Bruce said, why hasn't the Lord come? Or why doesn't he take me to him? I know there are ones here that suffer day after day in pain and many times through the night. Why? Cast not away therefore your confidence. Brother Bruce spoke of the only true promise keeper. I want to read some of those promises. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And while we do, can I mention another one? There might be a young sister here, maybe feels like she isn't so young anymore, who's long prayed that the Lord would bring that man along that would be the companion that God had ordained for her, formed her for. You've prayed, but it doesn't seem that the Lord is answering. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense. Romans chapter 8, these are promises we well know, we cling to, and how good to grip them with all our hearts. And we know, verse 28, Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many times we have clung to that word all, and cling to it. They work together, and though they are not good in themselves, because that's what's difficult sometimes, we can't understand why God would allow this certain thing. It doesn't even seem character according to God's character. Don't ever allow the smallest doubt to creep in. His purpose, we read in this chapter, in chapter 12 rather, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We may say, well, I know it's perfect. I know it's good. I can't see it, but I have a very hard time accepting it. But he says it is acceptable. It's acceptable. It's just a matter of clinging to him and trusting him. And like we read in Corinthians, it says, casting down, should read, reasonings, because that's what comes in and gets us, isn't it? We don't understand why. But casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is the knowledge of God. We have it in his word. And when I find something to come in, and Brother Lundeen used to say, it's the thin edge of the wedge. If Satan can just get in that tiny little bit, why, it won't be long and it'll be quite open. We never want to allow that. Never. It's disastrous when we do, in our own souls and in the souls of our children. What wonderful promises from this promise keeper. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Oh, what love. Can you and I question his love? We can't question his power. We can't question his wisdom. They are all perfect. The one that gave the dearest object of his heart, is he going to allow you? Is he going to withhold from you something that would be good for you? No, he won't, this verse tells us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He will, beloved brethren. That's that wonderful recompense. But it's so important that we don't allow the doubt or the question of the goodness of his heart. I think Brother Hayhoe used to say, all our sin and sorrow, whether a saint or sinner, stems from unbelief that's in the goodness of the heart of God. No wonder Satan ever seeks to work that he would give us to question in some way his goodness or his love or his wisdom or his power. I'd like to look at two, very quickly, at two portions in the Old Testament perhaps it'd be a help to us in this. Genesis chapter 22, a well-known chapter, a precious chapter because of what it signifies in type to us. Perhaps because it's so precious and that's its primary purpose, we sometimes maybe miss a very practical lesson in here. I just want to read it. We know the story well, but in Genesis 22, and verse 6 says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Now notice, they went both of them together. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Oh, you know, that's the question Abraham was dreading. What am I going to say when my son says, The lamb's missing, what's going on? Abraham had several days to contemplate that. You know, and his parents, we sometimes hope, I hope our children won't ask us this question because I don't know how to answer. Isn't it beautiful, Abraham's answer? Verse 8, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, notice again, both of them together. That's essential for your children. So wonderful to see so many young families and mothers and fathers went to the effort to bring your children here to hear the Word of God and to enjoy the fellowship of the other little children. I know it's an effort, but it'll be a well-compensated effort. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a joy to have them here. But you know, when they look at you and ask you certain questions, and you don't know how to answer them because you don't know what's ahead. Isn't it wonderful to say, My son or my daughter, the Lord will provide. The Lord will take care of us. He knows. And then they go with you. They went both of them together. But don't introduce. And if you allow it in your heart and your soul a question as to the ways of God with you, however difficult they may be, then it's disastrous because that will be transmitted to them. A little over a year ago, I embraced a father who buried his son, and he said, I fear he's in a lost eternity. There's nothing to give me any hope of the way he died, that he's anywhere else. How do you comfort a brother like that? I didn't know what to say. Just to embrace him. Cast not away. Therefore your confidence. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 9. Excuse me, chapter 10. We know this story well as also. The Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon and his wisdom from the far country where she was queen. And she confesses that she didn't believe it. She came to maybe prove it more or less that it was overblown. She came and had the privilege of speaking with Solomon. In 1 Chronicles 9, it says she came with enigmas, or hard questions. You know, an enigma is, if this is so, then how come this? And to the delight of her heart, Solomon could answer. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus. He could answer those questions. And one day he's going to for us. But meanwhile, to cling, to trust him. For sake of time, let's go to verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. I want to read a corresponding verse back in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Isn't that beautiful? Look at these words. Do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the working of his power that worketh in us. You know, the Queen of Sheba, as she came to Solomon, saw his kingdom, heard his wisdom, saw the happiness of his servants. Then he said to her, well, you know what? What would you like? I'd like to give it to you. We can't hardly imagine that she asked whatever she asked for, this, 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 and this, and he could provide it. And then it says he gave her things that she didn't even know they existed. They were beyond her asking. You know, that's the joy of our hearts, and that's what will sustain us. As Brother Mark read to us this morning, my thoughts are higher than your. They're not just different, they're higher. And if the Lord allows in your life and mine that which we don't understand, which is very difficult for us, it's because he's working something that we wouldn't even think to ask. And that's the only way he can work it. So, may I not ever allow again. Can I encourage each one of us, never allow the smallest seed of distrust as to the wonder of the good and the love that's in the heart of God towards us, that's moving his hand in every circumstance of our life. Because one day, we're going to be in his presence. And he's going to trace the pathway, and we'll see that nothing could have been improved upon, except for maybe our reaction to things, but he was still able for that. Nothing could have been improved upon as his ways with us. And as one brother used to say, there's going to suddenly be one universal adoring note of praise. And together we will say, as for God, his way is perfect.